All right. Good morning, y'all.
Nobody's here. Nobody's responding. Good morning.
There we go. All right. I thought it was a Ghost of Christmas Past a minute there.
All right, everybody up. We're going to do some worship, and then we're going to have our kids program.
Lord Almighty, is your great name. Your great name. Your great name.
Amen. All right, well, folks, we are here today with the. I know we're not doing. Wayne, where's the Christmas song? We're not doing Joy to the World. We're not doing Silent Night. We're not doing these other songs.
Gotta come back for Christmas Eve, right?
We are saving those for the children today. They are doing they've been working hard on these songs, and we're gonna let them have all the thunder of the Christmas carols today. So I was kind of like focusing today, and I was thinking about, you know, this time of year just seems like, you know, we get so busy and we get so hurried that we forget about this awesome gift that we were given, you know. And I think that a lot of us just get so caught up in the stress of life in this time of year that we're just worried about the stuff, you know, whether it's work related, whether it's, you know, we're planning events, whether we're trying to buy gifts, whether we're doing all these things. And just, you know, I feel like a lot of times we just have to relax and say, man, God, we just I need your strength to keep me going through this time of year. I know some of you, there's probably some here today that probably doesn't like Christmas for what it is. You know, they kind of go through the motions of Christmas, but they're not really into it because of all the stress that they're under. So this song I thought today, I was thinking about Everlasting God. This song talks about, it's in Isaiah 40:31. You know, so it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run, they shall not be weary. They shall not walk and not faint. I mean, I think it'd be awesome if we could like just go through life and never get tired. Is anybody tired today? I know I'm tired. Hey, I'm a worship leader. I got to do all this other stuff. I got to get up and put songs together and think of Christmas Eve services. And, you know, so sometimes Christmas gets me a little stressed out, too, because I'm trying to think of, like, what I'm going to do to make it perfect, you know. And I get worried about perfection, that it drives me nuts. So, and it's not really my job to be perfect, you know, but we always think we got to be perfect. So, amen to that.
Amen to that.
Got anything, Jack?
Yeah, I get anything?
Besides the Eagles playing the Ravens today?
Yeah, we'll see. But
Jack is the sports pastor.
That's right. It'd be great if you could major in that, sports pastor. But if anybody finds a job, let me know. But I think Wayne's just saying it right. You know, today the kids are going to share something. I'm going to share. I know you guys are going to be shocked by this. A brief message, like I've done every year, and it's going to relate to a movie that we're all familiar with, The Polar Express. Many have seen that, and just a couple things in watching that, there we go, and a couple of those things that in the midst of that we're going to learn, and I think it's just awesome that we can see the kids and what they're going to share today, but just some things that are on my heart I want to share with you about that today. So we're going to have fun. I hope you're going to have fun, right?
Yep.
If not, something's wrong with you, all right? So let's just open with prayer. Lord God, we just thank you that we're here. I can't believe, God, none of us can believe that Christmas is facing us a week from today. And we are all right now going through our list of all the stuff we have not done and we've put off because, it's got a couple more weeks. And we're hoping that Amazon Prime still sends stuff. But apart from that, God, we just need your Holy Spirit to come right now and just to really touch our hearts in the way that you did the hearts of the shepherds, the wise men, and the people, the disciples, and all those throughout these thousands and thousands of years since you came on the scene and died and rose again. So, Lord, just take our worship, make it awesome for you, and just meet us in an awesome way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Rise as we wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You do not faint to walk. Grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord our God. You reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. And you are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint to walk. Grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
You are. everlasting. You are God. Faithfulness, your love extends to times of turbulence. Adopting those who call upon your name. Every generation joins in songs and grateful praise.
Who is he?
You are.
Who is he?
You are the one true God. Yeah. From everlasting,
everlasting,
to everlasting.
God, we just praise you that you're everlasting, that no matter what happens in our lives, that the scriptures tell us we are just a breath of mist, just like the grass. And so, God, but you love us so much that you sent your son Jesus into the world, and that your love is everlasting. And we were made not just for this world, but for eternity. And for that, we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you can have a seat. Say hi to somebody, right? Everybody say hi to somebody.
Just sitting down now.
Today, we are going to go ahead and light the fourth candle. Remember when we started with that first candle? You notice it says new member. We are going to hold off on that. Several people today couldn't make it for one reason or another, for work and Ravens games and other kinds of stuff. And so we want to go ahead, but we want to continue. So we're going to go ahead and light the fourth candle of Advent. I remember as a kid, I used to get really excited when this one got lit because it meant that by the next time I was in church, I got presents. But it's much, much more than that. And so we're talking about the candle of peace. So if you want to go ahead and take a look at our video today.
All right, so here we are. We've got one more candle to light, and you have a bulletin insert about that right here. We have two. We will light them on our Christmas Eve service. We have two options for that, 6:30 and 8:30. 6:30 says it has a description that it's our family service geared for family of all ages. If they want to come to the second one, they're more than fine to do that as well, but we'll have a communion service at that one. And but we have a good time. Last year, some of you remember at the early service, we had a makeshift nativity, right? I think Jason, you and Joe were angels, weren't you? With wings and everything. So we have a good time at all those. So we're this is for you, number one, so that you remind yourself, and number two, to hand to somebody. Go ahead and hand it to somebody. Say, hey, come on, we'd love to have you show up for Christmas Eve. It's a great time. Christmas is a great time where people can go ahead and say that they're really interested and may come to church in those areas. And you may be the reason. I remember, I think it was last year or the year before, somebody invited someone, and they accepted Christ at Christmas Eve, which was an awesome experience. So that's the ultimate goal. You can see the poinsettias that are in here in honor and memory of individuals. And if you look on the back of that, you can see Haven's Helping Hands for Rotating Shelter, volunteer sign-ups that will be here before we know it, January 9th through the 15th. And so you can see all donations need to be in by the 1st of January. Keep in mind that next week we will not have church service here. There will be something online for you if you'd like to take a look at that. So we'll have a worship service there. And but mostly we want to give people, as you can tell, one of the main things is we want to give the people who serve, our Sunday school teachers, our worship team, everybody else who serves here, our AV team and everybody else, just time to spend with their family and also to focus on God and just to give that gift to them. Angel tree due today. So I don't know, do we have any more angels out there? Or we're good? Awesome. That's awesome. We have. I'll tell you, as I look at 2016 for our church, it's been a year of service. We have really reached out in awesome ways. So that's incredible. And keep in mind that the kids are going to be starting to get their Christmas boxes around the world. So that is awesome. And that came from here. So we want to. So make sure if you forgot them, you can hunt Jen down very quickly because I know she's got to get out of here today, right? So you better hunt her down as she's walking out to her car because they have a recital, Christmas thing today at the college. So if you're interested, go to that as well. Parish Foundation dinner today. And how are we? We're good. I always love when Bonnie gives me the thumbs up on that. And the next time is January 22nd. So if you're interested in that, please go ahead and sign up now. And there's several other outreach opportunities we have there as well. We mentioned rotating shelter. Again, visitors, if you're visiting today, welcome. We're glad that you're here. We're excited about what our kids are going to bring to us today. Prayers, we have some prayers here from Bill, for Ray Caldwell. His wife, Barb, is still feeling bad and needs some healing. Cooper, a friend from school, have suddenly lost their father in the last 2 weeks, And Rhonda Carl asked for a prayer for prayers for the Elkins, a praise report for son-in-law. He's doing great after heart surgery, so we want to continue to do that and lift them up. All right, do we have any others to add to the prayer list real quick as we're going on? Yes. Who? Okay, what was the first name? Trina? Frina, okay. Okay, stroke, so we want to lift her up in your prayers, definitely in the Hollenball family. Others?
I'm going to Will's Eye Institute tomorrow.
Okay, so Mom's going to Will's Eye Institute to go ahead. Last-ditch effort about her eyesight. So we want to lift her in prayers. Anybody else? All right. So we want to lift up the Guyverson family. They're not here today. Rodney's sister passed away, and we had her funeral yesterday at 10 o'clock in the very icy outside. So, you know, but we want to lift them up in your prayers as well. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you now, and we want to give you thanks for, once again, who you are and for all the blessings that you've given to us. For those who are on the prayer list, we ask that you you minister your needs, your healing. For those who need physical healing, we ask for that. For those who are dealing with strokes and just setbacks, we know that you know the need and you know what they need from you. Be there for them. In whatever manner, for those who are just lonely this time of year, those who are just down and depression and everything else that exists there, just be with them. God, for those who are having doctor's appointments, that seem like maybe a last-ditch effort, we know that you are God and you will make a way. And you're going to make it all happen. For those of us who look toward Christmas, and for some of us, it's a very joyous time. For others, it's a very mixed time of year. That 2016 may have been a year that was filled with hope at the beginning, but then turned into being one where hope got lost. And where family and friends may have left this world and left us lonely and hurt. Whatever it may be, God, we ask that your love just cast down and just fill hearts and lives. Now as we move to this point of our offering, we take time to just go ahead and say thank you. Thank you for the many things that you bestow on us. We thank you that with all of its problems and all of its concerns, that we live in a country where we have freedom to worship you, where we have a freedom to go and not because of the class we're born into, but we have a freedom to do better for ourselves, but also to have you make a way to make life better for us. So for all these blessings, God, we just want to give a portion back to you, recognizing that this is the last Sunday in the year that we can do so. We can give online and other times, but this is our last time to really say, hey, God, I just want to thank you for this year, for all that you've done for us, for the ministry that has been more outreach in the history of this church this year than it ever has been. So, God, I thank you for the giver and the tither. I ask for your Holy Spirit to be upon them and to strengthen them. And may we be your people, and may 2017 be a year where we're in wonder of all that you do for us, and that your name is glorified throughout the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
All right, please stand if you're able. We're going to sing this song here in the worship. It's, you know, but church is not a spectator sport. Worship is not for spectators. It's for our hearts as Christians as we come together and just simply say we're here to worship you, Lord. Put their voices together.
To see my sin upon that cross.
my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
One more time, here I am to worship.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Time, we're going to get set up. Our children are going to bring to us our annual Christmas pageant play, whatever you want to call it, and so we're excited for that. As they're going to go ahead, they always do a great job and work hard for it. So I know many of you are excited to see this, right? So remember, if you come here at church next Sunday, you'll be yourself and Jesus. All right, and maybe a couple people who forgot to remember, okay? So you guys can have one outside in the parking lot if you want. But Christmas Eve, I do want to remind you again, Christmas Eve. How many have ever attended our Christmas Eve services? Okay, they're just a great time to connect and just to connect to God and just have that great great time to remember what the real reason for it is. All right, so you guys ready? Are the kids ready? Here we go. All right, here they are.
a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you.
Stands for the root of Jesse. In the Old Testament, prophets foretold the birth of Jesus. The prophet Isaiah wrote that out of the root of Jesse, a branch would grow. The branch would rule the Gentiles and bring light into a darkened world. C stands for Caesar Augustus. In the Gospel of St. Luke, we are told there was a decree from Caesar Augustus that all people had to register for a tax. Each family was to register in the city of the family's origin. Joseph had to go to the city of David, which was in Bethlehem. It was also prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem.
T stands for travelers. People from near and far traveled to Bethlehem. The roads were crowded with people walking or riding donkeys. Among them were Joseph and Mary. Mary's baby would be born very soon, and the trip was long and tiring. I stands for innkeeper. When Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, it was very crowded, and they could not find a place to stay. An innkeeper who had no room left in his inn told Joseph that they could rest in the stable. In that humble place, Jesus was born. Only the animals were there to see this wonderful miracle.
S stands for shepherds. On the hills outside Bethlehem, shepherds were watching their flocks of sheep. The shepherds spent most evenings outside, so they were familiar with the night sky. On this night, the shepherds knew that something unusual was happening. They saw a brightness in the sky over Bethlehem, which they had never seen before. A stands for angels. As the shepherds were looking into the sky, an angel appeared and told them that a Savior had been born in Bethlehem. They would find him lying in a manger. Suddenly, the sky was filled with angels singing praises to God. M stands for manger. The shepherds hurried to Bethlehem and found the stable. There they found Mary and Joseph, and lying in the manger, a newborn baby Jesus wrapped in a piece of cloth.
Lay in a manger. S stands for Savior. The shepherds told Mary and Joseph all that had happened to them on the hillside outside of Bethlehem. They shared in wonder how the heavenly angel sang God's praises. Joseph remembered the angel who had appeared to him and told him that Mary would give birth to God's Son, the Savior of the world. H is for Holy Night, and so it was that God touched the earth in the form of a tiny child. Born of a virgin in a lowly stable on that holy night many years ago, this little baby would become the King of Kings and the Savior of the world, just as the prophets foretold.
The Christmas poem. See the Christ child in the manger lay. H. In swaddling clothes upon the hay. R. There our Redeemer came to earth. I. An infant born of lowly birth. S. The shepherds heard the angel sing. T, and travel to a newborn king. M, where Mary and Joseph joined their praise. A, now we are Alleluia's rise. S, a Savior given from heaven above. It's Christmas gift of endless love.
Good job, right? Didn't they do a great job? Who was that kid in the back that was dancing? He looks a lot like me. All right. All right, I just want to share with you a couple things since I'm giving you a week off next week. I just want to share a couple things that God just laid on my heart that should be a little insert in your bulletin. Looks kind of like this. And I just want to build upon what the kids did with a great job with telling us like what Christmas really means. How many of you ever seen The Polar Express? How many liked the movie? How many read the book first? There was a book first. Nobody ever sees the movie. All right, so the movie. The Polar Express is basically, how many have not seen this? Okay, you've never seen The Polar Express? Got something for you to do today, okay, if you don't like the Eagles and the Ravens. So The Polar Express is basically a movie about a young boy who is cynical in belief, primarily his belief about Santa Claus. It's primarily where he is. And so as he's cynical about stuff, anybody know a young kid who may be cynical about anything? Anybody know old people who are cynical about everything? Okay. Anybody married? I know we won't start there, okay. But he's cynical. And so he goes to bed, and when he goes to bed at night, a train comes down the middle of a street, and the train is for this boy, his unbelief, and others who get on the train, and then they go to the North Pole, and it kind of challenges their unbelief. Now, you could just stop right there and say this whole story is about the boy, his unbelief, and others, and how it comes out to Christmas, and how everything's awesome, and ends real nice and cheery at the end of the story. And then you could miss so many other things. But there are several biblical undertones throughout the movie. For instance, if you look, Robert Zemeckis, anybody heard that name? Robert Zemeckis said this. He said, nothing in a movie this big ends up in the script by accident. And he mentioned this after he was asked about biblical undertones and some things about God that are in there. And he said, he basically gave a wink and a nod and said, nothing is there by mistake. And he put these things in there. So what this message is about is it's about a belief, about belief, as I said. Now, how many of you have ever, and that's the main part of this message. The main part of this message is it's about belief. And you have on your bulletins, I believe I put that there. I'm usually grabbing it right here. But the main theme of the Polar Express is belief. And about this kid believing and whether he can believe. How many of you have ever had questions or question your belief about God? Anybody? I mean, I think several people have. That's part of the whole situation. For me, I think one of the first times I really questioned my belief in God was when I was in college. All right? Other times, there have been times early in ministry where life got very difficult, and I questioned the overall package about God. And throughout my life, I have questioned whether God exists as an Eagles fan. Right? So, you know. How he allows Cowboys to be around, and I don't know. But anyway, and Redskins, we got them over here too. All right, but one of the things that I started to think about as we looked at this is, as I was looking at this, is many of us have questioned our belief, and I started looking at the world around us, and I think we don't really believe in Christmas anymore. We really don't believe in Christmas anymore, and by that I mean Christ Mass. We don't really do that. We do believe in things of Christmas. Like, for instance, I have a list up here of things we do believe in. We believe in Christmas Day. We believe in Christmas presents. How many believe in Christmas presents? All right. How many? Some of you still believe in Christmas cards. Some of you believe in Christmas e-cards. Some of you believe in Christmas Facebook posts. Right. Some of you believe in Christmas parties. Some of us believe in Christmas carols. Although nobody carols around our houses anymore, right? Because we might shut the door on them. Many of you believe in Christmas lights. I saw a great one. There was a house that was completely decorated and awesome, and a person had lights next door pointing in an arrow and said, ditto. That's my method anymore. All right? Doesn't that sound awesome? All right, so some of us have Christmas lights. Some of you are weird and believe in Christmas fruitcake. That's the worst thing ever, okay? But some of you do that. And so the question is, do we still believe in Christmas, or the most part, do we believe in Christ? That's the part of that. Every year around this time, there are billboards that are placed out. And the billboards that are placed out are put up by the American atheist. And so what we look about in Christmas time, one of the things that we see at Christmas time is simply this. Christmas is summed up in the real belief of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever does what? Who does what? Believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The true message of Christmas is that God sent his son into the world to save the world in and through him for all who believe. But the problem is we live in a culture that is so skeptical of God and the things of God. It's so skeptical. As I was just mentioning, every year the American Atheist Group spends money and puts billboards up. This is one from a couple years ago. And it says, "Dear Santa, all I want for Christmas is to skip church. I'm too old for fairy tales." They have another one this year. Here, they haven't stopped this year. Look what it does. You go into it's a text, and this girl's reading. "You going to church this Christmas? LOL, no way. I don't believe in that stuff anymore. What will your parents say?" They'll get over it with their tongue out. The more American atheist Christmas, the more the merrier. We live in a culture that is accepting of non-belief of Christ and actually promotes it in several areas that we look at. Barna research tells us that statistics now are roughly 92% of people believe that Jesus was a real person. And 52% of people actually believe that Jesus is really God's son. When you go to millennials, that number drops to 48%. So what's the cause? You see, in this story that we have this boy who is skeptical, and this train comes by, and he can get on there with others who are in this unbelief or questioning part, and they can get on a train and go on a journey to help show them what they really need to believe in, but it also ultimately comes down to the person. And so what I want to do with just a few minutes of time here today is I want to talk to you about two enemies of belief that we have in our world and in our culture. Two enemies of belief. And in order to do so, I want to show some very brief clips from the Polar Express. And for those of you who haven't seen it, you'll go, "Oh, I want to see that." Okay? So the first one is the boy he's trying to wrestle with whether he can intellectually believe or not. And he runs into a man who we later find out who is a ghost. And it was interesting. I know Shelley has danced and some other stuff today, but she was asking about the whole thing this week, which really kind of spurred me on with this. And this man, we find out, is a ghost. And there's actually three characters in the Polar Express that begin to help this boy on his journey toward belief. One is the conductor. Two is this man who we find out is a ghost. And the third one is Santa. And they're played by the one and the same person, Tom Hanks. It's his voice for all of them. So what Zemeckis kind of said is it's kind of like a Trinity kind of thing. If you don't believe that or not, he says it's not there by mistake. But Tom Hanks does this. And at this point, I want to show you this scene where the boy comes in contact with the man who is actually a ghost. And I want you to watch this scene really quickly.
Looky here. This is an official, authentic, genuine ticket to ride. Oh, you better keep this in a safe place, young man. If I was you, I'd keep all my valuables right here in the old size 13. Experience shows this is the safest place. Not that I have much use for those tickets. I ride for free. Oh, yeah. I hop aboard this Rattler anytime I feels like it. I own this train. It's like I'm the king of this train. Yeah, the king of the Polex. In fact, I am the king of the North Pole! Now, where's my man? Sit. Take a load of him.
What about Santa?
Santa?
Isn't he the king of the North Pole?
You mean this guy? What exactly is your persuasion on the big man, since you brought him up?
Well, I want to believe. But!
You don't want to be bamboozled. You don't want to be let down to Primrose Bay. You don't want to be caught or duped, have the wool pulled over your eyes, hoodwinked. You don't want to be taken for a ride, railroaded! Seeing is believing. Am I right?
Seeing is believing. You see, what this boy is what many people, when it comes to faith in God, many people think faith makes them look foolish. By having faith, it makes you look foolish because seeing is believing. And it's so funny that we find out that actually the things that we think we see more in life, that, you know, when they look at eyewitness accounts of things, they're more flawed than most things ever. Eyewitness accounts, what we put faith in, there have been numerous people who have been put in prison because of eyewitness accounts that are completely false, that DNA evidence has proved differently. We put faith in all kinds of things that we couldn't see. Hey, how did the lights come on just now? Anybody know? Some of you do. And I tell you, it wasn't a light switch. Now I really weirded you out, didn't I? But there's different ways we don't understand. We just expect it to happen. But when it comes time to putting faith in Christ, we don't embrace what Hebrews 11:1 says. Faith is being sure what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It continues in Hebrews 11:6 and says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must do what? Believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." If faith is being sure what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, and we have to believe in order to have that, doesn't it make sense that we aren't going to always see that? The things that happen? How many of you have ever been in love? Did you see love? Did it walk up to you and go, "I am love"? And you're going to attach it to this person. No, none of us have ever seen that in life. We see evidence of love, and all you have to do is open your eyes and see evidence of Christ in this world. All you have to do is see the ministries that this church does in serving those less fortunate, and you see the love of Christ and the presence of Christ in the world. All you have to do is look in the New Testament about the writer named Paul and see that his life, as we talked about last week, he was a serial killer of good people, and his life changed, and even atheists don't know how to deal with the Apostle Paul. Except for the fact that he went ahead and had a change in his life. And what does he attribute to? Meeting Jesus Christ and it changing his life forever. You see, faith is being sure what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And so many of us are caught up in, like this boy, that seeing is believing. But is it? In this next clip, you meet the conductor who shares with the boy a little bit different thought.
Watch your step, tricky walking up here, it's mighty slick, I tell you. Oh, what? There you go, what did I tell you? Years ago, on my first Christmas Eve run, I was up on the roof making my rounds, when I slipped on the ice myself. I reached out for a hand iron, but it broke off. I slid and fell, and yet, I did not fall off this train.
Someone saved you?
Or something.
An angel.
Maybe.
Wait. Well, what did he look like? Did you see him?
No, sir. But sometimes seeing is believing. And sometimes the most real things in the world are the things we can't see.
He says he fell off and was saved. And he said, "What did he look like?" "I don't know." She said, maybe it was an angel. He said, maybe. So many of us need to, all we need to do is look around at the people who call themselves Christians. All we have to do is look at people like Mother Teresa, who was a lady who was born into wealth and had a good life, but she gave it all up to go ahead and spend her life with the unlovable people in Calcutta, India. All we have to do is look at Billy Graham, who was a guy who was farming, and he just wanted to go to church because the girl he thought was pretty hot went. And he went, and somebody reached out and saved him, or something. All you have to do is look at my life and your life and the people who really love Jesus and see how their lives have been changed. I've never had a time where Jesus came and knocked at my door and sat down and I looked at him face to face. But oh, have I felt his presence and experienced him time and time again. But not enough in my life as I need every day. Much like throughout my life, I'm so focused on seeing is believing and seeing is believing and the things that I see because I put faith in individuals that I see that appear to be good people. And guess what? If you're like me, they've left you wanting and hurt and broken. Remember we talked about this? Or I've seen things that happen in life and I see horrific situations of abuse and other things and I'm like, where is God in this? I can easily say that shows no evidence. But then I can see Joyce Meyer video that we showed the other week where her father raped her repeatedly for years and years and that she forgave him, baptized him, and called him her brother in Christ. That doesn't happen if Jesus is not true and real. You see, there's evidence all over the place if we just open our eyes and look. What did the man say? Seeing is believing, but sometimes the most real things in the world are the things we can't see. So we might fight against foolishness. But the last thing that I think we struggle with is this. Pain and disappointment. And pain and disappointment often comes because we've got our eyes on the wrong things. We're looking at the wrong things. Have you ever turned on the news and you hear death, death, murder, shot, this, right? Is there anything sometimes good? And then we go, let's look at the weather. You know, it's sometimes you're like, you're really demented when you look at this stuff. You feel depressed after watching this. And if you watch that all the time, you will look at everything as horrific. But if you fill your mind with things that are good and true and real, you see, there's this boy who is in the movie. He doesn't have a name, but here he is. We'll just call him the poor boy. Because he's very poor. And nothing works out for him. And he's never had Christmas. Because his family is poor. He doesn't expect anything. I think his name might be Billy. I think if I'm right. And when he finds a present with his name on it in Santa's sleigh, he wants to hold on to it. And the elf's like, just trust me. Just trust me. Bring it back. And for him, this is the only present he's ever had in his hand. This is the only thing he's ever had tangible. And he's holding on to it for dear life. But he ends up trusting. And they drop him off. You see, what happened to him is pain in his life left him disappointed and broken. But here's the thing. Pain doesn't draw you away from God unless you allow it. You don't have a choice. Jesus promised us, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. In other words, he says you have a choice unless you allow pain to pull you away from God. That's what can happen. It's very interesting that that boy, they drop him off and he comes outside and he's got the present in his hand. You see, God always comes through, always. It may not be on our time when we're in the midst of the sleigh. If we're having issues at work, and financial issues, believe me, God will come through. If you're having problems in your relationship, believe me, God will come through. He may not give you the present right there when you want it, but he will come through. If we believe in Christness. You see, the boy, the main boy in the story, got to pick what he wanted for Christmas. He was looking around and he couldn't see Santa, couldn't see him. And all of a sudden, he looks up and he's right there. But still, they had this, the ball from the sleigh had come off, and he wanted to hear it. And you couldn't hear it unless you believed. For adults, they would shake it wouldn't make any sound. And he has this moment, this crisis of faith, dare I say, in his life where he's sitting there with this in his hand. He's looking at it, and there's all this beauty. He said, I want to believe. I got to believe. I believe. And he rings it, and he begins to hear it ringing. For so many of us, we have had God right here. And we're trying to hear from him, but there's so much other stuff in the world that is clouding our ears. There's so many other things that we've got our eyes focused on that's saying, I don't believe because I can't see it. I don't believe, I can't see it. I can't hear it because everything else is loud. All the other stuff of Christmas is so loud in our lives that we don't hear the voice of God in our lives. Maybe because we haven't told ourselves, I need to stop everything around me and just believe. And just believe. Remember I said the American atheists have some things out? Look at what their other ad is that they have on the billboard. Make Christmas great again. Skip church. Now, it's interesting that they don't just have them saying, make Christmas great again, don't believe. But what are they constantly telling you to do? Why? Because they know that they know when God's people come together, where two or three are gathered, so am I. And they know that if we get together as the body of Christ, we're going to shut out the world and the noise from the world and the problems that we have. And we may just believe. And we may just begin to hear the voice of God in our lives. Shaking in a way that we've never heard before. All because we stopped the world around us. And went. And even atheists who don't believe in God know that when God's people come together, it changes the world. It changes the world. So my prayer for you this Christmas, just believe. Just believe in what God has for you. And may Christmas be expressed in your life. And may you get your ticket punched. If you haven't seen it, go see it. And may it say, believe. Amen? All right, everybody get up. All right, Christmas Eve services are when? 6:30 and 8:30 on Christmas Eve. Yeah, very good. Okay? And I hope to see everybody here. Come as you are. If you're baking cookies and you got flour in your hair, awesome. It'll be great. If you're baking more and you want to bring them, that's awesome. I'll eat them. But whatever it is, just come as you are. If you got family over, say, hey, let's go. Let's have a quick service just to focus on God. And so we really want you to be part. If you can't get out, we will be streaming them as well so people can be part of that. And also, remember, next week we won't have church service here, but it will be online. If you want to see something, there will be something on there for you to celebrate the season if you want to focus on Christmas. But ultimately, recognize that there's many people out there who don't believe. Just you be the voice of God. Let them hear. Let you ring Christ from the rooftops. Amen? So go forth in the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the fellowship, communion, and power of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Everybody says, amen. Amen. We'll see you. Have a great week.